I'm going to bring a message today on the subject, Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. You know, that's written in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. And again, in the book of Psalms, David said, the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Salvation is a miracle. It's a miracle of God's love and a miracle of God's grace and a miracle of God's wisdom. The hymn writers put it this way, it took a miracle to put the stars in space. It took a miracle to hang the world in place. But when God saved my soul, when God cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of His love and His grace. Salvation is of the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said in a message he preached over 100 years ago, salvation's of the Lord in its origination. God planned it. It's of the Lord in its execution. God carried it out in sending His Son into the world to be our Redeemer. Salvation's of the Lord in its application. God revealed His Son in us. Salvation's of the Lord in its sustaining power. We're kept by the power of God through faith. And salvation is of the Lord in its ultimate perfection. He said, emblazoned across the sky throughout eternity will be these words, glory to God, salvation is of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to take the time to point out all the foolishness and the complete folly of what most preachers and churches call salvation. The presumption, and that's what it is, it's presumption. The presumption that's associated with walking to the front of the church. Salvation is not a physical move. It's coming to Christ in the heart. It's not coming to the front of the church or to an altar or to a mourner's bench. Salvation is not walking to the front of the church. It's not responding to altar calls at all. It's not praying the sinner's prayer or making a decision. I'm not going to point those things out. I think this, most of you see the folly in all of these physical moves and calling it salvation. What I want to do today is turn to the book of Ephesians. This is one of the Apostle Paul's epistles, the epistle to the Ephesians. And I want you to turn with me to chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. I wish very much, if you want to learn something about this miracle of redemption, if you really, sincerely, in your heart, want to know how God saves sinners and who it is that saves sinners and how sinners are saved, if you really want to know, let's lay our traditions and our prejudices aside and come to the Word of God with an open heart, with a hungry heart, with a willing heart, and listen to what He has to say about salvation, redemption. In Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to see what the Apostle Paul writes about the great work of the divine Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord our God's one God, but reveals Himself definitely as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I want you to see, in the words of Paul, the great work of the Blessed Trinity in the redemption of a sinner. And you may draw your own conclusions. I'll just read the Scripture, make a comment or two, and when we come to the end of this message, we'll see what you believe about this matter of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. All right, let's turn to Ephesians 1. You have it there in your Bible. Chapter 1, verse 3. We'll skip the salutation. And here in verse 3, Paul says this, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, God the Father is the moving cause of salvation. He's the moving cause. It says the Father blessed us. He blessed us. He is the source. He is the fountain. He is the giver. He is the designer. He is the one that purposed this whole affair. He, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, hath blessed us. He's the fountain of all mercy. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from God, cometh down from the Father. You see that? He blessed us. And the Father blessed us. Now watch this. He blessed us. This is the supreme blessing. This is the extreme blessing. This is the great blessing. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. These spiritual blessings come together. It's one blessing, all spiritual blessings. We're not talking here of fleshly, materialistic things, cars, jobs, homes, radio, television, boats, family, condominium. I'm not talking about that foolishness that'll all fade away with the passing of years, decaying by the time you get them. I'm talking about spiritual blessings. I'm talking about life, eternal life, eternal love. I'm talking about pardon. I'm talking about forgiveness of sin. I'm talking about redemption. I'm talking about righteousness, resurrection, acceptance with God. He has blessed us with spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. And all spiritual blessings. All of them. In Christ we have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All that a sinner needs. All that God commands. All that the law requires. All spiritual. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. They're in the heavenlies. These spiritual blessings are in heavenly places, not on this earth, but these spiritual blessings are literally in His presence. That's where Christ went to offer His blood, not in the holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself. That's where our forerunner has entered, not in a temple on this earth, but behind, within the veil. That's where the forerunner is. That's where Christ is. That's where He's seated, at the right hand of God. And all of these blessings, these spiritual blessings, are ours in Christ in the heavenlies, already sealed, already perfected, already, as the Scripture says, laid up for you, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved, where? In heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. You see that? The moving cause of all mercy, the fountain of all grace, the giver of every gift that's worth having is the Father. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. I'll work on that in just a moment. Now look at verse 4. You have verse 4 there, Ephesians 1. According as He hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. God blessed us. He blessed us in Christ with all spiritual blessing. He blessed us because He chose to bless us. He chose to bless us, and He chose us to be blessed. We didn't choose Him. He chose us. Didn't our Lord say that to His beloved 12? He said one day to them, "You didn't choose me. I chose you." We didn't love Him. He loved us. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. I can't brag about loving God or how much I love God. I sure can rejoice in His love for me. He loved me. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We didn't call Him. He called us. The hymn writer said, "'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart of mine would still refuse thee, but thou hast chosen me." He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ according as He chose us. And He chose us in Christ. He's the firstborn. Christ be my first elect, God said, and then chose His people in their head. He chose us not because we were holy. He chose us that we should be holy, that we should be delivered from sin, that we should be righteous. He chose us in Christ in order that we might be holy. When did He choose us? Before the world began. Before the foundation of the world. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. God never changes. God's unchangeable. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. He declareth the end from the beginning. Let me ask you three questions. Three simple, simple questions. Did you choose God or did He choose you? Now, will you answer according to the Scriptures? Well, you say, preacher, He chose me. That's what the Word of God says. He chose me. Why He chose me? I don't, the reason has to be in Himself, but He chose me. All right, when did He choose you? When did God choose you? Somebody comes along and says, well, when we believe. That's not what the Word of God says. It says here He chose us before the foundation of the world. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God chose us before the world began. Now here's the third question. God chose you, and He chose you back in the beginning. Well, why did He choose you? Why you? Why me? Why did He pass by thousands, yea, millions, and set His affection on us and choose us? Why did He choose us? Well, the Scripture says He chose us because it seemed good in His sight. Even so, Father, it seemed good in Thy sight, according to the good pleasure of His own will. You need, and I need, and all people need to make a study of God's everlasting covenant. That great shepherd of the sheep that God brought forth, the Lord Jesus Christ, that shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that same covenant in which David rejoiced on his deathbed and said, this is all my salvation and all my desire. This is my salvation. God entered a covenant with His Son in reference to me. And that's my hope. God chose me. All right, notice this, verse 5. You have verse 5? Now, verse 5 actually begins with verse 4. It said, according as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, He chose us that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love having predestinated us. In love, God predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. The foundation of all spiritual blessings is the love of God. God sent His Son because He loved the world. God Almighty gave His Son to die for us because He commended His love toward us. Christ came and suffered and bled and died for us because He loved us. Having loved His own, He loved them unto the end. He loved them. The love of God. How rich, how pure, how measureless, how strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' songs. And could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above and drain that ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. In love, not your love for God, God's love for you. Not because you were holy, but in order that you might be holy. God predestinated us to be His children. Now, my friends, the word predestination is used four times in the Bible, only four times. It's used twice here in chapter 1 of Ephesians, and it's used twice in Romans chapter 8, and each and every time that it's used in the Word of God, it has to do with the same thing. It has to do with what God will make of His elect. We're predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. We're predestinated to the adoption of children. We're predestinated to be like Jesus Christ, children of God. He has determined from all eternity that those whom He saves and those for whom Christ died, God has determined the means, God has determined the way, God has determined the events, God has determined all things that will finally bring those people to His presence to be conformed perfectly to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what predestination has to do with. Election has to do with people. Predestination has to do with the means of making those people like Christ. God's charted the course. God's planned the path. Almighty God has set forth the way that that person is going to come, because he's going to be like Christ. He's determined. He's predetermined. Your destination has been determined prior to the beginning of the world. God determined it. You see, Almighty God ordained Joseph to be king of Egypt. You understand that Joseph is going to be king of Egypt. Before Joseph was born, Almighty God determined that Joseph would be king of Egypt. Before Joseph was ever born into his family, before he ever had the coat of many colors, before he ever had the dream, before he ever ran into the wrath of his brothers, he's going to be king of Egypt. How will God bring him to that throne? Well, God brought him to that throne the way that you read in the Scriptures. He was born to his father. He was one of the favorite sons. His brothers were jealous of him. His father gave him a beautiful coat. He came out into the field that day. His brother's wrath was kindled against him because of dreams that he had. They cast him into a pit. They sold him as a slave. He went down to Egypt. He went to Potter's first house, finally in jail, met the baker, the butcher, wound up in the castle, interpreted the dream, wound up on the throne. Accidents, chance, fate, God predestinated. And that's the way Israel came to be in Egypt, because Joseph was there and Joseph was king and God brought him there. He predestinated it. And all these events, you might call them happenings or chance or fate or luck or use any word you want to. It doesn't matter. But God, in love, has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Now He loved us. He chose us. He predetermined, predestinated us to be children. He called us. He gave us all these blessings that we might receive all His mercy. And He did it for His own glory. It says here, to the praise of the glory of His grace. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God will share His glory with no man. To the praise of the glory of His grace, He has made sinners like you and me to be accepted in the Beloved. And all the crowns will be at His feet. And all the glory will be His. And all the praise will be His. And all the anthems in His name will be sung, because He did it all from first to last. God the Father be praised for His mercy to us in Christ. All right, now in the next six verses there in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 7, in the next six verses, the Apostle Paul talks about the work of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father chose us. The Father predestinated us to be like Christ. And the Father accepted us in the Beloved. The Father. Now here in verse 7, it says this, talking about Christ, accepted in the Beloved, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption. We have redemption in Christ. Redemption is not in the church, it's in Christ. Redemption is not in the waters of baptism, it's in Christ. Redemption is not in your merit and in the law, it's in Christ. We have redemption in Christ through His blood. His blood maketh atonement for the soul. His blood cleanseth us from all sin. His blood redeems us. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. comma, according to the riches of His grace. Not according to what we deserve. We don't deserve anything but the wages of sin. Not according to the way that we've worked and served the Lord. It's according to the riches of His grace. Did you notice how many times since I've been reading in this first chapter the term in Christ, it said He blessed us in Christ. He chose us in Christ. He accepted us in Christ. We have redemption in Christ. It's in Christ. Jesus Christ, God's Son, the God-man, came into this world as our representative, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were born under the law. And as a man, as the God-man, the perfect man, He fulfilled all righteousness. You see, by one man, Adam, and by his disobedience, we were made sinners. We weren't put on probation. We weren't put on trial. We were made sinners. Made sinners. Even so, by the obedience of the perfect man, the God-man, the Son of Man and Son of God, we were made righteous. The God-man went to the tree, Calvary's cross, and died for our sins. For there He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was literally laid on Him, and by His stripes we're healed. We have redemption. Now we're going to have, we have it. It's done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He bought me. He redeemed me. I have redemption through His blood. I have the forgiveness of sin. He forgave us. Look at verse 9. And He made known unto us the mystery of God's will. You can't know God except in Christ. You can't know God except as you know Christ. He made known. They said, show us the Father. He said, have I been so long time with you and you don't know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. This is the work of the Son in redemption. The Father chose us. The Father made the covenant. The Father predestinated what we would be. And the Father accepted us in the Beloved. But it's in the Beloved we're redeemed. It's in the Beloved that we have forgiveness of sin. It's in the Beloved that we know God. That the mystery of God's will and the mystery of God's character and God's holiness and justice is revealed to us. And He made known unto us the mystery of God's will. Watch this now. According to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Now watch verse 10. Note carefully, this is good. In Christ we have obtained an inheritance. Now, people talk about their inheritance. They talk about their reward. They talk about going to heaven, entering their reward. Our inheritance is in Christ. And in Christ we have obtained it. Received it freely. He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in Him. Being, watch this now, being predestinated according to His purpose, which He purposed in Himself. Salvation is no accident. Did you hear that word purpose? Purpose. God said, I've purposed it. I'll do it. I've spoken it. I'll bring it to pass. He worketh all things after His own counsel and purpose. Here's a familiar scripture. For all things, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Whose will? My will? Your will? No, God's will. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. To as many as received Christ, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of the will of God. Now look at verse 12. And all the way through you see this, that we should be to the praise of the glory of His grace, who first trusted in Christ. This theme runs throughout this first chapter and throughout the Word of God. God will be glorified. God will be glorified. In our day of religion, we're glorifying everything and everybody and every way but God Almighty. Everything, every way, and everybody but God Almighty. And God will be glorified. You see, He chose us to the praise of His glory. Christ died for us that we should be to the praise of His glory. And then look at verse 13. In whom, in Christ, you trusted, you believed, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. What did you hear? You heard the truth about God. You heard the truth about yourself. You heard the truth about sin. You heard the truth about Christ. You heard the truth about His redemptive work, and you believed that truth. In whom also after you believed, now watch this, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise to the praise of the glory of His grace. There's the divine Trinity. The Father chose us. The Father predestinated us. The Father called us and accepted us. And the Son redeemed us. And the Son enlightened us. And the Son enriched us. And the Holy Ghost brought the gospel to these dumb, dead hearts and gave us ears to hear and hearts to believe. And when we believe, He sealed us in God, sealed us forever. And all of it, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Now, you can get this message on tape and the one I'll bring next week for $2. Get the address, write for it, we'll send it to you. Until next week, God bless you.
Then sings my song, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art.
Just heard a sermon by Henry Mahan, pastor of the 13th Street Baptist Church of Ashland, Kentucky. Address all correspondence to Henry Mahan, Box 1700, Ashland, Kentucky.
I see the stars, I hear